Episode 5, the podcast that transcended racism. Ready? Go!
Hello. Welcome to episode 5 of Rocket Puns, as you've heard before.
And we're recording on what day? What's the date today?
I'll check my magic calendar.
And we are recording on April the 25th, 2008.
Nice.
All right. So, we're Rocket Punch. This is our 5th episode anniversary, I guess.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I'm Filthy Monkey. This is Wing Zero.
Hey, how's it going?
You can contact us at wingmonkey@gmail.com.
But no one ever does.
I've gotten some spam mail.
Oh, nice.
One.
I guess
one
that's
spam
some...
mail.
Do you're not spammers. Even sending us spam.
Do you
it's
spammers.
Not good.
Send me more mail, I guess?
We need to know about herbal supplements.
Oh, a lot of herbal supplements. Plus, I need to look there a lot.
Yeah.
Look there. All right. So, as you heard from our mysterious narrator today we'll be focusing on a little show called Mobile Fighter G Gundam.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. Otherwise known as The Way Japan Sees the World, the Anime.
True.
We'll get into that later.
We're also... Coincidentally, we'll also be talking about a certain video game about that kind of goes treads in the same area.
That's right, Sin and Punishment. No, wait, we're doing Mega Man because someone hasn't played the game.
I wonder who that is.
Game. I wonder who that would be.
You should pay his $8 and play a video game that came out 10 years ago. Yes.
It's still look. Just because a game is old doesn't mean it's not good. We'll try and get on that game later. I'll have Phil D. Monkey sit down and play with me one of these days. But for now, today's video game topic is Mega Man.
All of Mega Man. We're talking Mega Man.
Mega Man X.
Mega Man Soccer.
Mega Man Command Mission.
Mega Man Baseball.
Mega Man Battle and Chase.
Mega Man Extreme Volleyball.
Mega Man Battle Network.
Mega Man Extreme Volleyball 2.
Mega Man Zero.
Mega Man Baseball Football.
Mega Man Star Force.
Mega Man Soccer Ultimate Edition.
And that's about all I got for the Mega Mans.
Alright.
Was there anything else that we forgot? Come on.
Mega Man
1, 2, 3. Oh, there's ZX and ZX Advent. And there's probably more after that we don't even know about. They're always making a Mega Man game. It's like two every year.
They're making a Mega Man Adventure game, probably.
Oh, man.
Phoenix Wright.
I would play that. I really would. Oh, man, you know what? Capcom hasn't been really utilizing their crossover stuff as much as they used to.
How they always do it.
Did you see the Phoenix Wright Harvey Birdman game?
And
they had Street Fighter references?
Yeah, I've seen it.
It's weird though, cuz there's no Stephen Colbert voicing any of the characters. So there's no Reducto and there's no...
Well, he's too famous now.
Apparently. Oh, yeah, he's too much of a big shot to go back and talk about Harvey Birdman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of like a boring episode, though, really. I mean, I tried playing it for a little while, and it's like, this stuff was in the show. It's just rehashes. I'd rather play Phoenix Wright.
Oh, and just to remind our viewers, today we will be broadcasting in this beautiful storm weather.
Stormovision!
So, be on the lookouts to hear that and our thunder noise in the background.
Yeah, well, this is the best we could do with, okay?
Hey, this is Thunder Vision. Maybe they'll win a prize if they know at what point the lightning's going to hit.
Well, see, the vision part comes from their imaginations. So you're just going to have to imagine what's going on. Listen with your ears.
All right, imagine that I've got my fist to Wing Zero's face, and it is slamming a collision to it.
Look, they're don't ask for miracles.
Alright.
Okay, they're not going to be able to come up with it.
So, shall we go on to the news?
Yeah, I guess so. What do you want to start with?
Well,
video game news or animation?
We've got a collaborative story to start out with.
Sure. Alright, so it's both. It's both animation and video games for this piece of news.
So, Neversoft? Is Neversoft what it's
called? Neversoft? Wasn't that, that's like the Tony Hawk people.
Who's doing Earthworm Jim then?
Earthworm Jim... is being... All right, well, basically, here's what's happening. This week, it was announced that Earthworm Jim 1 and 2 are both coming out to the Virtual Console for the Nintendo Wii. So it's like, all right, yay.
Yeah,
I haven't played
nice.
That in a while. You know, where's my new Earthworm Jim? And then immediately after, they're like, hey, you want more Earthworm Jim? We're making a movie, an Earthworm Jim movie. I'm like, Okay, that's kind of cool. And also two seasons of a new cartoon. I'm like,
they've already confirmed 2 seasons?
They've already confirmed 2 seasons of it.
Do they know, do they have anyone to distribute it? Or
it's going to be on the WB from what I hear.
But the WB isn't going to exist as of next year.
Well, then I have no idea where they're going to put it, but that's what I heard. That's what I heard on the connector.
Because the last one lasted 2 seasons. The one with Dan Castellaneta as Earthworm Jim.
Well, they're coming up with something else. And not only that, they're making a new video game as well, which is really what I wanted. It's as of now, it's just called Earthworm Jim 4. But, you know, it's being done by...
They've got Doug Tenapple to work on it, the creator of Earthworm Jim.
Yeah, they've got... didn't he do The Neverhood?
He did The Neverhood, he did Cat Scratch.
He did Cat Scratch?
Yeah.
Wasn't that canceled, though?
Yeah.
Huh, it was still pretty good. They got that dude from the Kids in the Hall voicing one of the characters.
Yeah, but
that
they also had
good.
The Steinfeld curse on him.
What do you mean, the Steinfeld
they had
curse?
They had Newman in it.
Oh, man, any show that he's on just crashes like the first Jurassic Park.
Ouch.
Yeah. Alright, so yeah, they're going to make this whole entire new thing. I'm happy for it. We haven't had any Earthworm Jim stuff in a very, very long time.
I'm excited. I mean, I'm wondering what they're going to do for 4. I mean, 3 was...
Well, what? Yeah, that's what I remembered. There was Earthworm Jim 3D on Nintendo 64.
And but I heard that's terrible.
It is terrible. It was made by Rockstar Games.
Oh, wow.
Back on the Nintendo 64. This is before they did all that Grand Theft Auto stuff. And they're damn lucky that they got Grand Theft Auto. That's all I have to say about that.
Oh, my.
Yeah, but I don't remember a 3 at all. If they're counting that as 3, then just don't even forget about it.
I think they're counting
it
as a 3.
Ugh. Yeah, don't stay far away from that.
So I'll be interested to see how they adapt the Earthworm Jim side-scrolling shooting system into a 3D realm.
Those games were really good for a number of reasons. It had really odd artistic like humor.
Like
there were a lot of cows. Yeah, there were a lot of cows. A lot of... Man, like, I remember, what was that one level? There was a level where you're just trying to dig through, like, newspapers. You're shooting upwards through newspapers.
You're digging through them, so you shoot up.
Yeah, that was a
crazy
level.
So the whole level is you digging through the newspapers?
Yeah, there was an awesome submarine level.
I remember the one where you had... In the second one, where you had to save your sidekick's puppies, so you would bounce a marshmallow. It was a marshmallow, not a trampoline, that you would bounce the puppies onto.
Right, but that was like 2. 2 just 2 had a lot of mini games in it, kind of like spread out through the levels. I'm not sure which I like more. They're both good for different reasons. Especially the music. The music is really nice. But I think the best version. There's a Sega CD or a Saturn version that has much better music. I'll try and show you that sometime. But yeah, great series. I'm looking forward to the cartoons. Who made the cartoons?
I don't know. It was Universal Studios at the time.
I remember a Freakazoid episode referenced Earthworm Jim. They were like, we're going to replace our announcer with the Earthworm Jim announcer. They're like, oh no, don't do that.
And they both had pretty good announcers. Actually, both surprisingly, two very good action comedies at the same time.
Yeah, man, that was really at the peak of cartooning
well,
in the 90s.
For that, yeah.
For that year, I guess. That was really good stuff. And then, I don't think Earthworm Jim got canceled. It just ended, didn't it?
They canceled it along with Freakazoid. What happened is that someone got hired in to take over the Kids WB, mm-hmm. and his first thought was to start over with all the shows, because they all don't have ratings whatsoever. They have no...
Why, nobody was watching any of
that
stuff?
No, it's not even that. I don't know what it was. James came up to
whatever, it's just new management. It was a bunch of stupid decisions. But those were good cartoons.
Good times.
There's a lot of potential in this. That's what I have to say about that. All right, well, what other animation stuff we got?
Well, I heard some good news for Avatar. They finally have a date for the release of the final half of season 3.
Oh, man, that's good. For those of you who don't know, what was the last episode on Nickelodeon?
It was the...
Well, whatever. They ended their season.
It was a two-parter.
Yeah, it was a two-parter. It's where the eclipse happened, right? And then they
eclipse. That's the
right. But there were like 2 episodes after that they didn't show on Nickelodeon that everyone on the internet pirated.
That they aired on Canada.
Yeah, they aired it in Canada.
Yeah, yeah. But they're starting with those on July 14th, and that's going to be the end of the Avatar. That may be the end of Avatar, or at the very least, the end of Aang's arc.
Huh. So, what do you mean by that? Is the series going to end?
I mean, they already said it's going to be the whole arc of Aang is going to be 3 seasons. And considering how popular it's become, it may get a 4th season, but...
What, it's all going to be Zuko? Zuko's new quest.
It might elaborate on things. I know they already announced 3 Avatar movies for... Not the live-action ones they're going to do, but...
They're making live-action Avatar?
You didn't hear about this?
You know, if I did, I blocked it out of my mind, because that sounds retarded.
Who's the guy who does all the twists?
Huh? What?
Who's the guy who did Signs and...
God, who the heck is that? M. Night Shyamalan. That's the guy. Oh, man, they destroy him on Robot Chicken. But yeah,
he's directing it.
So what's the twist going to be at the end?
It was all a dream of M. Night Shyamalan all along.
It was all a cartoon.
It was all a cartoon.
That'll be the twist.
It'll be the twist of someone waking up and like, I woke up and my favorite cartoon was adapted into a trilogy of movies.
Oh, boy, that would have been awesome. What was I going to say? What was his last movie? Do you know? I don't pay attention to that stuff at all.
I don't pay attention to him anymore.
Man.
Not since...
All right, that's just bad news. I don't have any...
Well, they're doing 3 anime... The good news is that...
So he's doing 3
season
anime...
Season 3 is coming in July, and some animated movies are coming to Nickelodeon.
So who's doing the movies?
The staff of the cartoon.
Perfect. Beautiful. That's
and
all we need.
The only other anime news I have... is...
Wait, you said other anime. Does that mean...
No, I'm sorry. Any other news related to cartoons and anime.
Okay.
I'm not saying Avatar's an anime.
Cartoons and anime are the same thing.
It's the same thing. I'm putting into these categories because people don't understand. Like, if I said the cartoon, Neon Genesis Evangelion, it's like, it's not a cartoon! It's an anime!
Man.
Oh, God!
Listen, well, isn't in Japan, that's just their word for animation, isn't it?
Yes.
So, yes, cartoons and anime are the exact same thing.
They are. And
I will not back down from that statement.
It's a good statement. But, so, Ghost in the Shell 2, which had this...
Which is a cartoon.
about...
Oh, man, I love this.
About robots talking about philosophy.
Yeah, man, oof. I would hate to subtitle that, wouldn't you?
Well, that was the only release they had for Innocence, the second one. But the good news is that DreamWorks, who had originally owned it, brought over the license to Bandai Entertainment, who is going to be releasing it onto Blu-ray and DVD. But what's good is that they're going to be providing an English dub.
That's excellent. Why'd they only release it in subtitle before?
I don't know.
Probably lazy. Lazy people don't want to learn an entire new language and 3 different alphabets just to bring it into English.
Oh, and Comic-Con happened last week.
Oh, no big deal, though.
No big deal. I only announced the greatest news with Gurren Lagann.
What did they get? Oh, aren't they making a new series or a movie or something?
Yeah, they're doing a new movie for the summer, I think.
Huh. Well, how's that going to work? They can't make...
It's a rehash.
It's a rehash.
It's the whole... They're doing arcs of the series and they're compiling it into a movie.
Well, why not take 26 episodes and just condense it into a movie? That's a great idea.
It's a pretty smart idea.
That won't lose any of the meaning or action. It's all going to be fighting for an entire
arc.
It's
not by means to turn into meaning or action. It's just a means to make money.
Hmm. Why? Because everyone's... Is it that popular in Japan?
I don't know.
I know a lot of people in America, like me, I love it. We'll talk about it eventually.
Eventually, we have to talk about it.
Hopefully, if we have the time. But, what was I going to say? Yeah, is it that popular in Japan where they're just
making it? I don't
know.
It's enough to warrant this release.
I don't know. I remember one of the co-creators of Gainax, he quit Gainax?
He quit because he was mad at the fans.
Yeah, it's like people on message boards are like, this animation sucks, what's up with this? And it's like, I've had it, you guys are not, like, getting my message, and you're ungrateful, I'm leaving Gainax, enjoy your show.
And then he left and it got a lot better. Not as though that means anything.
I don't know, what was the last thing he did?
He did episode 4.
Well, what was episode 4 about, where they just got
episode
into the
4
story?
Episode 4 was just when they got into the story, and... all the quality of the series went down from there. Just because I guess the first 3 episodes were really to elaborate on the whole story and the concept.
So I don't know. I mean, it was so early in it, you didn't really lose much.
So that's about all there is in animation news. And cartoons. Only cartoons.
Oh, yeah, and our cartoon news for the week.
Cartoons.
Okay, that is a lot of rain. We are getting, like, poured on here. Thank God we're in a house. All right, let me get on to the video game stuff, because you're done with the animation, right?
Yes.
Okay, so first thing for this, apparently Okami came out on the Wii recently, from the PS2.
Sweet.
Yeah, pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Except one thing. There's a subliminal message on the box art.
What's the subliminal message?
Well, all right, if you own the game, take a look at it, and you gotta look close. You gotta look real close. But there's an IGN symbol, as in IGN.com, who we're not endorsing. But they're on there, and it's like they either put it in there on purpose to screw with people, or they left it in there because they're, like, bad at photoshopping up new covers. And I don't understand how it... Oh, excuse me. Excuse me.
No,
anyway,
that was me.
What was I going to say? Yeah, I don't understand how you could leave an entire IGN symbol on there. It's like, that's retarded. How do you not, like, say, okay, here, I'm done with the box art. Let's take a quick look at it real close to make sure nothing's on there. Looks good. Send it out. I don't know. Man, maybe they're just rushing or stuff. Everyone's human, but...
We all make mistakes.
I don't know. It just seems kind of ridiculous.
We'll talk about later.
Yeah, in regards to that, I don't know if I want to get it. Because part of the reason why the game looks so much like paper on the PS2 is because the technical limitations of the PS2, they pushed it really hard, and because of that, it looks like it's made out of paper.
Ah.
And when you upscale that to a higher definition video game system, something more powerful, it loses some of that.
Really?
Yeah, it just looks, I don't know, I've been hearing people saying it's like brighter or something like that, and I'm like, how is that a problem?
I may buy it. I'm probably going to buy it.
I don't know, but like the main issue I've been hearing is like the controls aren't as tight.
I guess.
Like they mapped certain like motion controls to like attacking and stuff. I'm like,
uh-huh.
And that would have been fine if they let you use the GameCube controller, but they didn't do that. They I don't know. They're really kind of half-assed in this. Okay, so back to the IGN box art thing. People complained, and within a day, Capcom had a reply. And they said, okay, listen, we made a mistake. Stop phoning us. What they did is you can go to their website. I posted a link on the blog. And you just enter in your address, and they don't even check to see if you bought the game. And you can get yourself a free new box art.
Sweet.
And it's a sleeve that you can just put over it. And I think that's pretty cool, because not only are they fixing their old problem and removing the IGN symbol and that stupid, like, 9.0 out of 10 from this magazine thing, they're letting you choose two other box arts that aren't even the original one that they're fixing.
I've taken a look at it. It's both very nice box arts.
You know what I need to post up on the blog is the Japanese box art for the PS2 version of Okami. It is amazing. Like, if you think these new ones are good, it's nothing compared to those. And I don't know why so many box arts change from Japan to America, but I don't know. It just loses something.
Right.
I'll show you what I'm talking about. It's more detailed. All right, so we already talked about Earthworm Jim. On to another retro revival. Apparently, Electronic Game Monthly, their main story this week is the revival of Splatterhouse.
Splatterhouse. I've never heard of this game.
And I've heard of it. I have heard of it. I've heard of everything. Excuse me.
Oh, that was me.
Too many beans.
Ugh. Too many beans in that Chinese food.
What was I going to say? Yeah, Splatterhouse was like a... I know 2 and 3 are both on the Sega Genesis. And basically it was a side-scrolling, like, gory video game. You were a dude in, like, a hockey mask, like Jason from Friday the 13th. Was that the movie?
Yeah.
Is that the right movie thing? Anyway, and you went around with, like, baseball bats and chainsaws and stuff, just cutting, like, monsters up with blood and gore everywhere. It was good fun for the whole family. And it's one of those video games that has just kind of, like, completely passed me up. I'm like, Splatterhouse? I'm like, why do I know that name? And everyone was like, you never played Splatterhouse? How have you never played Splatterhouse? I'm like, excuse me for not playing every video game under the sun. I missed one series.
You're more concerned about the fact that you didn't play it by means of completion than the game itself?
I don't know. I'm assuming they're going to make it 3D. You know, there's been a lot of bad...
Were you just complaining about 3D?
Well, 3D games can be good. You look at Mario 64, that's from 2D to 3D. That was a benchmark
for
3D games.
Let me re-elaborate.
Okay.
Do you remember when we were talking about Pixar and Disney doing 3D movies?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I guess it's easier to make a 3D game because of the modeling and stuff, but... no one makes 2D games because it's too damn hard, with the exception of, like, I guess SNK Playmore is still doing 2D games like nuts, which I love them for that. But I don't know, as long as it's good, as long as it's good, I don't really care. You know, there's barely any info on it. So wait and see, I guess. Wait and see.
Wait.
Let's see, what else I got here? Oh, for any of you who are hoping for a Skies of Arcadia sequel for you, good news! There's still no sequel for Skies of Arcadia.
High five!
Yeah!
Yeah!
But Vice and Ika, main characters of Skies of Arcadia, are showing up in the PS3 tactical RPG title Valkyria Chronicles.
What is that?
It is, apparently it's set in the 1930s and in, like, Europe, and it's all, like, a what-if type situation, and there's a war between one country and another over, like, this ore that they make into like, gasoline or something like that. Who cares what the story is? But you're gonna be able to play as Vice and Ika in your team. And there's a lot of characters. I put it up, but there was like 30 characters or so.
Were there any that were interesting?
I don't know. They all seemed like they had... there was this one cool dude with a pompadour.
Okay, I'll
give him that. But, you know, it's good to see the Sega hasn't completely forgotten about Skies of Arcadia. But at the very same time, I'm angry at them for not, you know, releasing a sequel. And putting the cameo on a system that I don't own. And many other things that don't counteract the cameo.
Why don't you just give up on Sega? They're kind of a lost cause.
I don't know. I've got high hopes for the Samba de Amigo sequel. That's a music game. They can't screw it up that bad. But then again, it's like Sonic the Hedgehog. All he does is run right and left and jump on things, and they screw that up. I'm like, how do you screw that up? That doesn't seem like it would be hard to do. I don't know. That's a whole another thing. But yeah, I'm hopeful that this is a sign that maybe they've actually... Maybe this is like a gauge where they're saying, you know, who's going to notice this? And if enough people notice it, maybe we should make a sequel to one of the greatest video games of all time.
That's just opinion.
That is fact. Out of, like... It's in the top 200 video games of all time.
200?
At least.
Have you played all 200 video games to stay?
In that list? I don't know. I played the top 100 of this imaginary list that I just came up with. Yeah, so that's saying something. So I hope they make a sequel. That's about all I can say about that. Let's see what else I did. Someone on the internet took a cartridge of Super Mario Brothers, and they modified it into a Nintendo. And by that, let me elaborate on this. They shrunk down the insides of a Nintendo Entertainment System and made them fit inside a cartridge.
Very nice.
And that is amazing to show how far the technology has gotten.
I applaud him for that.
Yeah, right now it only plays, like, Japanese titles, but the thing has everything. It has an AV jack, it has a power cord and everything, and I'm like, that's freaking unbelievable, like, some of the stuff that these people are doing. If I saw that, I would buy it up in an instant. You know, it just boggles my mind. I don't know what to say about that. Like I remember when I saw the Nintendo DS carts. Remember how small those, of seeing those?
I never saw them until I bought New Super Mario Brothers. I'm like, oh man, I can't wait to play it. Where's the game? It's like, where's the game? So tiny.
Yeah, man, they're so freaking small. I'm afraid, like, I'm still afraid. I think I lost my copy of Phoenix Wright because it's too damn small.
You got a copy of Phoenix Wright?
I have a copy of Phoenix Wright. I don't talk about it because I don't know where it is. I may as well not own it.
Ah.
You know, but, like, if things get too small, it's a problem. I don't know. What can I say about that? Technology, what can I say? It's getting way too powerful. Like, you're going to be able to fit, like, a PlayStation 3 cell processor on, like, the tip of a needle pin in, like, 20 years or something like that.
Well, I hate to say this, but remember that similarly when we were fixing the computers today to get rocket pumps up?
Yeah, what about it?
Well, I kind of compared a computer to a retarded child.
Oh, yeah, great comparison.
Well, it's kind of true. It's like a child in that it's very excited for what you want to do, but it just doesn't have the skills to do it in a confident way.
Doesn't have the hand-eye coordination?
No.
It's like, here's a puzzle, put it together.
No, you can't eat the puzzle.
Don't eat it. Don't do that. Oh, no, don't delete that. We need that podcast. Hopefully we don't, like, have this podcast die and have to redo it. But if it did die, you're not going to hear this. So, whoop-dee-doo. Who cares? All right.
I'm really scared. I'm afraid this the power's going to surge through the pop.
Let me
the
think.
The power thingy, my Bob.
Yeah, man, we're in a lightning storm. This is probably a bad idea to do a podcast, but
We'll go outside where it's safer.
Ah, good idea. What about you? Any other video game stuff that you can think of?
Kotaku still does the creepy stuff.
They're going to do what they're going to do, and we're going to do what we're going to do, you know? It's just let them do their thing. We don't care about it.
There is one thing I wanted to talk about in animation.
Yeah, go ahead.
And that...
A little segue.
I was thinking about this for a while, and what, and because I've been watching a lot of anime with...
You don't say.
With just very continuous story arcs.
Well, like Kaiji.
Well, not just Kaiji, but stuff like, crap.
Well, give me an example.
Like, say a long-running series, like Eureka 7.
Or Dragon Ball Z?
Yeah. And I realized that, like, that a lot of anime sacrifices episodic interest in terms of having this continuous storyline, regardless of how interesting it is.
Oh, so you're saying there's a lot of filler in animes that shouldn't be there and they should get to the point?
Yeah, they should have... Most anime should still be episodic, even if they have all these continuous marks.
I guess. I mean, they should be... like, you look at some series, like, you take Mushishi, for example.
Yeah.
That is a series where every episode is a story contained within itself,
but there's
and you could just pick it up anywhere. And there's certain nods to other parts of the story, but...
Yes.
I don't know. You know, it's just people are just milking series too much.
Like Naruto, I tried watching an episode of Shippuden, and nothing happened.
Yeah,
it amazed
man.
Me. I just clicked somewhere in the middle of the series, and there was nothing happening.
I don't know. It's like, Naruto is okay. It's not great. I don't like the idea of, like, a neon orange ninja trying to hide and be a ninja. That doesn't seem like it's a great idea. It's got some good things about it. I mean, it's not terrible.
There are some things I can give to it that it has... tends to have very nice fighting sequences when it wants to.
Yeah, like anything with Rock Lee or Gaara.
Or, like, I hate saying the word, but the first Sasuke or Orochimaru fight has this really strange animation where it looks like Sasuke's head is coming off.
Yeah, it twisted. I saw that.
And it's really cool animation. And it's also there's also the Naruto versus Sasuke fight.
You know what there was recently in Shippuden? They're fighting this dude who is... His ability is he's a puppet master.
Was it good animation? Or was it...
It was amazing animation, but it was only... It lasted two episodes. And you have, like, these 10 puppets with all different character designs fighting this one dude. And it was really, really good. And then immediately after that, back to crappy animation.
Anyway, but that's all I wanted to say. Just, I'd rather watch something... I'd rather watch... I enjoy... Like, in terms of... long-running Shonen Jump shows, I'd rather watch something like One Piece, which has the continuous storyline occur, but has really strange things occur in every episode.
I don't know, even when there's filler in One Piece, it's still pretty damn good.
It's a good show.
It's
maybe that's why. Maybe...
Naruto just isn't good.
Maybe we're just being passive-aggressive.
Prove us wrong, Internet, prove us wrong. Another thing. Okay, I still have one more thing I want to say. A couple podcasts ago, I didn't say it, but apparently there's going to be one more season of Kaiji, at least. And I really hope this isn't misinformation. Don't quote me on this, but I think it's true.
Speaking of Kaiji, we watched the ending.
I didn't watch the ending. If you've seen the last episode, I haven't seen it. I did see it in Japanese. I saw it in Japanese. I didn't know what was going on for the most part.
So I watched it...
in English subtitles.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
And it's still good.
It's excellent, but...
I will not refute anything from my review. It's still an awesome show.
Yeah, it didn't change anything. It just makes us want more episodes more.
Like, hopefully someone will start translating the manga. I don't know why they haven't licensed this yet.
I don't know either. Like, recently even, there's been a lot of manga that they don't carry at, like, our local Barnes & Noble. Like, they recently started, somebody has, like, three volumes of Mushishi for the manga out.
Yeah.
And I was at, like, a Borders or something. I'm like, this came out? When did this happen? And yet, every time, I'm still looking for, like, the new Kino's Journey volume or something, and it's not ever happening.
I've been looking for the new Osamu Tezuka manga MW.
Yeah.
But I can't... Or I think it's Mew. But I can't find it anywhere.
You know what? We should just really just... I don't know. This is kind of the stuff that makes us want to pirate. We don't want to pirate things, but when you don't give us what we want...
Well, let's not say that. When I tend to want a book, I'll tend to go to the library to get it. Because we have pretty good libraries in terms of manga selection.
Yeah, really. I'm kind of surprised. Like, they have a whole entire corner where it's just, like, book racks of manga.
It's the teenage section. All it is nothing but manga.
But then again, like, in the DVD section where you look in the anime, there's, like, 30 volumes of Rurouni Kenshin, 30 volumes of Inuyasha, so I don't know if that's necessarily...
They have Fist of the North Star.
They do have that. I'll give them that.
And they have the live-action one in the action movie section.
If we ever do a live-action anything for review, it's going to be the Fist of the North Star live-action.
That and your favorite TV show, Eerie Indiana.
Oh, if you don't like Eerie Indiana, then you don't like Twilight Zone. If you don't like the Twilight Zone, there's something wrong with you.
I love Twilight Zone.
Maybe I'm just looking at things through, like, these rose-tinted glasses, and I can't take my nostalgia specs off.
Yeah, Mr. DuckTales.
Well, man, I don't know what to say about that. I like it. We'll get back to it later. There was one more thing I wanted to say. Metal Gear Solid 4, almost out.
Almost
out, people. All three of you guys with the new PlayStation system are going to be able to play.
They're so pumped out. They're probably playing all of their Metal Gear Solids on their PlayStation 3.
That's what
if
I would
they
do.
Could play it. Oh, wait, they can.
No. If I had a PS3
right now,
I would be playing all the games in order just to get up to this. I would. I would play Metal Gear 2. I would play Metal Gear Solid 2, 3.
You know, I was about to be a big ass and say, if only they could play Metal Gear Solid. Like, oh, yeah, they just released the PlayStation 2 version.
Would be crazy. I put up a side-by-side comparison of the first trailer and the final build of the game.
Yeah.
And it looks a lot better. And Hideo Kojima, the creator of the series, said he was very disappointed with the PlayStation 3 in terms of what it could do. And I'm like just laughing at him. I'm like, you bastard. I'm like, how could you say that? The PlayStation 3 is supposed to be like the culmination of like all of Japan's like Air Force technology made into like a video game system. And
wait, we're about to talk about Japan's Air Force technology.
They have none. They put it all into video games. That's
and
all I'm
giant
saying.
Robots.
And giant robots and toilets. And he said, I expected the PS3 to be much more powerful. I only got 10% out of it what I thought it would be. that's exactly what he said. And I'm like, wow, so we're missing out on 90% of his vision. If what he's saying isn't like I don't know if what he's saying is true, and I think that's freaking insane. If he had that much of a vision, this really must be the final Metal Gear. And I know, you know, Snake dies, obviously, you know, they put it in the trailer, or maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's screwing with us, you know, lest we forget the whole Raiden thing.
Not in my mind right now.
Yeah, but I think that's hilarious. I really want to play the game. If this is. This might get me to buy a PS3, but then again, got no money for it. ASUN's going to drain all my money completely dry. Are we going to have an ASUN podcast talking about what we did there?
We could do it at ASUN.
Oh, man. Should we interview people at ASUN?
Yeah, because I know a lot of people going to ASUN.
Yes. Man, you know, I just run into a lot of people that I don't even keep... I never kept contact with.
Because Kevin's going... And Jeff, who I just talked to.
And you're going. And
yes.
I'm going. Hopefully.
And I think the funniest thing is like, hey, Phil, who are you going as? I'm going as me.
Yeah, I'm me too. We're going as the guys from the Rocket Punch podcast. That's who we're cosplaying as. It's the best costume ever.
Yeah!
But seriously though, if I did want to cosplay, I would be Waldo from Where's Waldo? So I can go in the background shots of anybody taking pictures and just kind of like lean against a wall or stand next to a barber pole or something like that. That's like the best costume for being in crowds.
I think, who would I be? I need to be a fat character.
Choji.
No,
Choji
from
Naruto.
I'm not being an Naruto character. I respect it, I don't cosplay as it.
Man, you know what I just realized? Like my first, what was it? The first ASUN we went to was like all Naruto cosplayers.
That's true.
And what was the next year?
It was all Full Metal Alchemist.
And then the next year, all Bleach.
So what's
and
it this year?
I'm
Death.
I'm,
oh God,
Death Note. Oh God. And Gurren Lagann.
Oh, I hope so.
I hope the Gurren Lagann kill people just destroy all the Death Note.
I hope
there's
like kill shot of Kanya punching Light in the face.
Man. This is going to be the best ASUN ever.
Yes!
High five. We'll get pictures for you guys if we can.
Make sure to dress as Kamina.
I don't know if we do cosplay, and I've never done it. I'm not like this. Like, I don't know. I'm not going to say I'm not a nerd. I've kind of come to terms with that.
Yeah.
But there's a difference between, okay, you know, you live with your parents and play video games all day, and, okay, you live with your parents and play video games all day, and then you go to a convention with people who live with their parents and play video games all day.
I go to
and
college,
dress
man.
Up as cartoon characters.
I go to college, man.
Yeah, you're a step above me. But
I'm a stair above you.
I don't. Yes, you're very high above me. But I don't want to. I don't want to dive into that realm of nerddom. I don't know if I would be able to do it.
I might just be lazy and be Peter Griffin. But then I'd have to cut off my beard. I don't want to cut off.
Unless you wear like all jeans and all like jean jacket, and you could be like the beard and mustache Peter Griffin.
True.
That would work.
That would work.
Alright.
But anyways, glasses,
so, okay, I guess that's it for our news. We're gonna go on to our main animation thing for,
I think there was a mysterious narrator that was talking about what we were going to do today.
Yes. The narrator for G Gundam.
Mobile Fighter.
Mobile G-Gundam. Fighter G Gundam.
To put a little, perspective on this, Mobile Fighter G Gundam was the first alternate Gundam universe, because before this, it was all
one continuity.
It was one timeline from Mobile Suit Gundam from 1978 to, I think, Victory Gundam, I believe.
Yeah, I go by Wing Zero, but it was only because I liked the robots. I don't know as much about Gundam as, like, I should by going by that name, but if there's one Gundam series I love, it's G Gundam.
So, this is directed by Yasuhiro Imagawa, and hopefully you know this name, because he directed a little anime called Giant Robo.
And that alone is like, enough to recommend it.
Like,
on
this
that
is alone
basic.
To recommend it. Go home, if you're not home, go to work, watch Giant Robo with all your...
Get fired for all we care, just watch it.
Get fired! And summon Giant Robo for
It'll
a very
be worth
sad
it.
Display of worthlessness.
Did, man, you know, the parallels between Giant Robo and Big O, are there, I know there's, it's like, obviously there's a kid with, like, a wristwatch, and he's kind of Batman-ish, and both of the characters do a lot of stuff like that, but did he work on, Big O at all?
No.
It seems like he did.
It's, Big O has the inspirations of these much older animes, or cartoons.
Cartoons.
Japanese cartoons.
Yes, Japanese cartoons. And, Batman.
Yes.
Lots of Batman-esque stuff in there.
So, in 1994, they were like, hey, Imagawa, Gawa, make a Gundam that isn't Gundam. He's like, sure.
It's like, what, I don't understand.
So,
they gave it to somebody else who could do the vision right.
So, this vision, Mobile Fighter G Gundam, what is it about? Would you like to describe it, Wing Zero?
Basically, what it is... the planet Earth has been ravaged by pollution, and nobody likes to live there anymore. So they go into space, and then everybody has their own robots. Each nation has a robot. Italy, Spain, America, Japan.
Israel.
Not Israel. Canada. There's probably
Russia.
And they fight. And then
they fight.
And then they keep
fight some
fighting.
More.
And then they keep fighting until one is number one. And the nation who becomes the number one Gundam fighter gets to rule all of Neo space for 4 years.
Everything's Neo in this, so if you ever get stuck in the G Gundam universe, just say, hey, I need to get to the Neo restaurant. Can you give me Neo directions? It's like Smurfs.
Or it's kind of like, you remember that SpongeBob episode where they go to rock bottom? And it's like, I can't understand your accent. And you just have to add Neo to everything or else nobody understands anything.
Huh? I'm trying to get to Neo, Illinois. Could you tell me which Neo bus route will Neo get me there?
Neo, yes?
There we go.
That's how it works.
So, but this Gundam fight is a little different than a bunch of giant robots that all based off of stereotypes fighting each other.
Oh, man. Well, what's different about it?
Well, you see, there's this guy named Domon Kashu, and he's from Japan. I won't lie.
He's the representative for Japan. He's the Neo Japan Gundam fighter.
And he's searching for this man, who happens to be his brother, because he needs to kill him.
Have you seen this man?
That's all he does.
I need to find some sailors. That's the Shenmue reference for you there.
And we follow him as he beats up a bunch of stereotypes.
You want to play a game of Lucky Hit? I'm going to keep making those references. Yeah, everything is stereotypical. It is absolutely the most racist anime I have ever seen in my life.
You've never watched Mad Bull, my friend.
I've seen a little. Okay, I understand Mad Bull is very racist. But G Gundam is, like, racist indirectly.
It's like a little kid, like, drawing the world. And it's like, why are there only white people in the world, kid? Because
that's all I see. Those are my white glasses.
Exactly.
That's why I said earlier, it's the way Japan views the rest of the world.
So
it really is.
We watch the most racist episodes. Let's see. We watch episodes.
Every episode is racist. We just picked out some that we liked.
The best part about the DVDs for G Gundam is that you can select it by the country.
Yeah, like they give you a world map, and then each episode is designated to a part on the map. And it's like, okay, well, we wanted to see what they talked about for Africa.
We wanted to see the Neo Mexico episode. So, like, how are we going to find this within all these episodes? Click, the map comes up. Yes.
Oh, okay. On Mexico. We zoom into Mexico, and the episode starts. That was helpful as hell.
That was so helpful.
All right, so let's talk about some of the stereotypes we have here.
Chippity Crockett.
Best character in the show?
Oh,
I don't know. He's
pretty
up
great.
There.
Let me tell you how great.
He is the Neo America Gundam Fight representative.
He's got a stem of tree with a leaf on it in his mouth the time.
He always has a piece of grass in his mouth. What else?
And a squad of hoes, I saw.
Yeah, he's a player. He's
a
player.
Big player.
He's got
and they're probably his mechanics too, in more ways than one.
Oh man,
he's
got four chicks that always hang around him, and they're his mechanics. They're like his cheering squad, I guess. And so it's like, okay, well, those two things. First of all, his name is Chibity Crockett.
Yeah, it's a nice name.
All right, if you don't get the American reference, then get off the podcast. Stop listening now.
Get out. Listen to This American Life and understand the more depressing parts of life.
Yeah, that by itself, okay, fine. They made an America reference. Him having the grass in his mouth. Okay, well, then it's kind of pretty American.
Oh, did you mention his robot?
Well, I still have to talk about him. It's like, oh, wait, he's a player. And he wears a star on him. He has a star on his shirt.
Like Homestar Runner. He's got a red shirt and a star.
And he has spiky purple and pink hair. And I'm like, well, that's pretty full. And he's full of himself. And I'm like, do the America references have to keep going? Yes, they do.
Here's the best part about Chippity. Here's the best part about Neo America. There's a flag. And first of all, it has four stars. Wait a minute.
First, I have to explain something. All of the countries that went to outer space, they're like continents that flew up in outer space, and each is shaped like something. What is Neo America shaped like?
A star!
Neo America is shaped like a star.
It's got a Statue of Liberty right in the center, right next to Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, they put like every major spot in America into this Neo country.
This was a Futurama joke, but this is 10 years before Futurama.
Yeah, and they have Neo New York. So it's New New York. And when they refer to things like Old New York.
So.
And that's just the country. We haven't talked about the robot. What does his robot look like?
It's a football. It's a guy in football armor.
Imagine a Gundam. Okay, now put shoulder pads on him from a football player. Now put a football helmet on that Gundam. All right?
And he's got a shield.
Yeah, and he has a shield. And his shield, he can throw it up into the air and ride it like a surfboard.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it's so freaking...
Here's what's better. When he gets into attack mode, his armor turns into boxing gloves.
Yeah, his shoulder plates come off, and then they attach to his fists, and his fists become boxing gloves. it's so freaking... You know, this is the only patriotic episode. It's not racist, it's patriotic.
And the American flag, has a lightning bolt on it.
Yeah, the American flag in the future has four stars on it now, apparently, and it has a lightning bolt on it.
Oh.
It's so freaking rad.
So... The best thing about this episode is that Domon breaks through the former Statue of Liberty with his Gundam.
Yeah, he was like, how am I gonna hide my robot?
How about I hide it in the Statue of Liberty? Nobody will see to check for it there. And then he just destroys it. He breaks out like the Incredible Hulk from a birthday cake. And then that's how he fights him.
Speaking of fights, the robots are very different than most fighting robots as opposed to...
Mega Man. It's not like Mega Man, because he's a fighting robot.
The fighting robot?
Yeah, Mega Man.
As opposed to having a system where you control it like a tank or a fighter jet, you have...
Right, they don't have a cockpit.
They do have spandex.
Yeah, basically what they do is they have, like, a globe, like a circular room inside the middle of the robot, and what you do is you take off all your clothes, and you strip nude, and you have, like, a spandex suit kind of wrap onto you. Airtight.
And it's so sexual.
Oh, it's like he's wearing nothing at all.
And he's like giving this cum look. Like,
yeah, it's like, and when they're putting this spandex.
And when Rain does it, Rain, Domon's girlfriend, it's so much worse because obviously this stuff is really hard and she's just falling over and.
Yeah, like, apparently there's so much pressure from putting these suits onto you that she collapses over because it's too hard to put on. And I'm like, man, that's manly. It's manly to fight in one of these robots. And, man, it's freaking sexual as hell. I can't get that picture of Domon's ass out of my mind. I don't want it to be in my mind, but it sticks there.
All right.
Oh, another thing about these robot fights, they all last about 5 seconds.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, oh,
well,
hey, I broke
up,
your
they
head.
Have to build up to the robot fights. We have to understand that it's a racist country, and they don't. And it's probably in poverty because it's not Japan.
Yeah, I guess it's like all the unimportant countries get destroyed instantly. I don't want to say that, but I'm just saying importance of the story. Like, when they're fighting the Tequila Gundam, which is Mexico's Gundam, they called it the Tequila Gundam, which is a Gundam with, like, it's, like, brown and green, and it has cactus thorns on one of its shoulders, and it wears a sombrero and has a mustache.
Oh.
It's so good!
I'm so mad that we never see him fight.
Yeah, you just see him shoot a couple of missiles, and then he gets
sliced
destroyed.
Up. Like,
his arms get chopped off, and then his head explodes.
His name. The name of the Neo Mexico's Gundam pilot is Chico Rodriguez.
You can't make this stuff up.
And his
up.
Ability, his vessel weapon, is poisonous darts, which helps shoot his opponent.
I don't know. It's you know. Like, every secondary character in that episode that was from Neo Mexico had a sombrero or a mustache.
That's the only
way... Or was asleep, like,
that's the only way
on
you could tell them apart.
That's
like, they had
I
a
said,
sombrero. They're not from Japan because they have sombreros on.
Ah, I get it. They're Mexican. They're Spanish.
Ah.
You know, that's how people in Japan apparently view Mexico. And it goes on and on like this for every country. Name another country that they had.
Canada.
What did Neo-Canada's representative Gundam look like?
He was a lumberjack.
Neo-Canada has a lumberjack.
Whoop-dee-oh.
Because that's what they're known for. And I'm sure he chugs maple syrup on the side. And he plays hockey.
And Neo-Egypt has a mummy Gundam.
I forgot about that. It did have a mummy Gundam. One of the worst ones is Neo... like Switzerland, it's just a windmill. It's a robot that they attached a windmill to. It's, oh my god, it just keeps going. What else is there? Neo China is the Dragon Gundam, and
yeah.
Like dragons are kind of mythical. That's almost like you can be proud to be the Dragon Gundam.
But there's still like pro Asia in this show.
Yeah,
especially with
Super Asia.
Well, let's talk about Master.
We need
Asia.
To talk about Master Asia.
Oh, Master Asia.
He is just, like, this ultimate martial artist.
He is Domon's former master and eventually betrays Domon. And he's the main villain for most of all of the series.
Well, I don't know. It's kind of like he's still looking for his brother because his brother took the Devil Gundam. He piloted it.
Yeah.
And he's kind of the villain. But then you find out all this stuff behind it. I won't spoil it, but there's plenty of cheesy plot twists involved.
Also, we haven't mentioned... His finishing move.
Well, whose finishing move?
Domon's.
Domon Kashu, the Burning Gundam.
The Burning Gundam has the
shining finger,
and of course he has his catchphrase beforehand. What's his catchphrase?
My hand burns with an awesome power. You know, something. It tells me to destroy you, or something like that. Man, I can't remember it. I really should. It's so good. There's a million cheesy quotes and cheesy battles and awesome racism. I can't recommend this Gundam enough.
Terribly bad. Just
oh, it's terrible. It's not. But it's there's a point where something becomes so bad that it transcends awfulness and becomes a god among other bad things.
This is a 49 episode series,
and you'll want to watch the whole thing just to see what happens next.
That's true. Like, we watched this in 2002, and this was they were airing this in the afternoons on Toonami
back when it was good.
And it was 5 episodes a week, which is probably the only way I would have watched this show at all.
Man, it was... I didn't watch it as much as I should have back then. Let's talk about, like, some of the Gundam designs themselves some more, though.
This is the first Gundam after the UC, which had very nice Gundam designs, but they were very...
They were realistic, and they were very military.
They were very conservative. Like, yeah. They never really strayed into any really...
No sombreros.
Fascinating designs. I like the designs in this show.
Yeah, they're imaginative, at least.
Yeah.
I mean, but they're imaginative because they're so, like... You see them coming so far away that you think there's no way in hell that they're going to make the Russian Gundam into a ball and chain wielder, because apparently all of Russia in... Or Neo-Russia. Neo-Russia is in prison.
Not as though communism had ended in this point.
It's an alternate future, we'll put it at that.
Where the Soviet Union still existed.
That's what we wanted you to think.
Damn we it. Were over. Soviet Union.
Oh, man, yeah. Jeez, it's so racist. I cannot stress that enough. What are some of the other ones?
Let's see.
What about the Sailor Moon Gundam?
What country was she from?
She was another... She had to be from Japan.
No.
No?
I don't know what country she was from.
I don't know. She was from outer space.
She was from Neo.
Neo, something Neo or other. Just pick a country. England. Yes, it had to be something like that. But you had they outfitted a Gundam with a sailor scout uniform, like a skirt and like a tiara, and like with the like the with like the. The peace sign, the sideway peace sign, you know, when she's standing. And I'm like, where can they go with this? What else could they possibly add to this? And then you see how huge the Devil Gundam is.
It's gigantic.
Oh my god. It's what it was is you
first
see
its head. They need the God Gundam to take it down.
Oh man, the God Gundam. That is the culmination of the entire series. That fight is amazing.
Which fight?
The final fight where you have every single robot on the planet fighting all at once.
Wait,
against
let's
the Devil
go
Gundam.
Back. Let's go back a bit.
Let's go back to a simpler time.
We haven't addressed the Super Saiyan Gundam.
Oh, the Shining Gundam?
No, the Super Mode.
Oh, the Super God Gundam.
No, the Super Mode, where the Gundam goes Super Saiyan.
Oh, God, where he kind of, like, pumps his arms backwards and everything turns gold?
Yes!
Oh, man, that's so good.
The Super Mode.
He takes... First of all, you need to know his regular finishing move. It's the Shining Finger. And what it is his right hand turns golden
green.
And green. And he just slams it into the other robot's face and destroys it. And I looked it up. The way it's supposed to work is his individual fingers on the robot spin at supersonic speeds and just grind the hell out of whatever he touches.
So what's Super Mode do?
Super Mode just makes everything... It is what it is. He goes Super Saiyan. That's all I can explain it. If the Gundam gains like super speed and super fighting spirit and super power and everything, it's the God Gundam.
It's insane.
Isn't it? It's ridiculous. What did they use it against?
It's just whenever the God Gundam.
Yeah, I don't remember who did they.
Wasn't that Domon's second Gundam?
I think so, because the first one gets destroyed at one point.
Oof! Spoilers.
Oh, good. Yeah. The main character loses once. Big spoiler. I don't know. So these robot designs are awesome. Like Domon's master, his black Gundam, which he rides in on like a robotic horse Gundam.
Yeah. Isn't there an actual horse on there?
Yeah, I don't think it. No, there's no such thing as a horse that big. It was a giant robotic horse. It had to be.
That was driven by a horse.
This series Maybe. Is ridiculous. Oh, man, what else did I want to say? What's up with that red thing on the chin of every Gundam?
Well, it's a goatee.
Every Gundam in the series has a goatee. Is that how it works?
Yes.
Even Domon's girlfriend, Rain, which I don't know who names their daughter Rain. I can't get into that. But her, like, sailor, Gundam has the same, like, beard type thing, like a goatee. I don't know what the deal is with that. And they all have, like, extremely big eyebrows or something like that. What are those things that come out of, like, the top of the head?
I don't know. It's a helmet.
It's just the helmet designs. Man, but yeah, it's ridiculously racist.
So, is this a summation?
That's just whatever we came up with,
like,
dude.
Like, is there any final thoughts you have on this? That's what I mean.
I don't know. It's long, and it's... Like, I don't know if you'll get enough out of it by just watching it by yourself. Definitely try and watch this with two or more people.
Watch this with friends.
This with friends and just laugh at how ridiculous it is. Like, the very first episode, they go to Neo Italy. And Neo Italy's Gundam Fight representative is a mafia gangster.
A mafia gangster who doesn't wear a shirt. And when he does, he looks like a Fist of the North Star henchman.
Yeah, and he has a mohawk, and he, God, it's just so good for how bad it is.
It is.
And I can clearly say this is the best Gundam for what it is.
The best alternate universe, definitely.
I don't know,
it's not going up against
it. It's amazing for different reasons. Like you look at Mobile Suit Zeta Gundam and the original series, and most people think those are the best series. You know, I don't care about you people who say Seed and Wing are good. They're crap. They're absolute garbage. You don't know what you're talking about.
Aren't you named Wing Zero?
Yeah, but the robot is cool. Remember, this was back in 1998. I must have been like 10 or 12.
Okay. I'll take that.
Give me a break. And it's got good robot designs. You look at Wing, there's the Gundam Death Scythe. I mean, that is
very
amazing.
Nice designs. They're just not very interesting shows.
Yeah, like, the main character was so freaking, like, apathetic and, like, boring.
Let's end it.
We'll end it at that.
We're
going to
go
sucks,
way more into an hour with our Mega Man discussion.
Oh, man. Yeah, okay, well, here, let me just see if I have anything else I want to say. At the end of every episode, there's a 1980s freeze frame in G Gundam.
I love those freeze frames.
God, I love those. If I could get a collection of those to use as my backgrounds... Like, the very first episode, they freeze frame on, like, the old detective walking away lighting a cigarette and Domon...
I hate Gundams. I hate Gundam fighters. And there's a Gundam fight committee. There's a Gundam fight committee where, like...
Who regulates these things?
Like, who... Like, what is there to regulate? We'd like to regulate that this Gundam broke a rule during the Gundam fight. All right, you need to take Form 23A.
Rule number one of the Gundam fight, don't aim at someone's cockpit because you'll kill them. Rule number two, if you destroy someone's Gundam's head, you automatically win. And I don't care what the other rules were. They're probably retarded rules like don't kick someone in the crotch on purpose or something like
that.
They
don't have a crotch.
Yeah, well, they don't. They have crotch plates.
They have crotch plates, but... Alright, well... Gundam's over.
Gundam's over, fine. But just from hearing us talk about it as much as we want to... We only watched, like, 3 episodes before this.
This was a reminder.
For the reminder, yeah.
Like, I hadn't watched this in a few years.
Man, it's so good. Alright, well, on to our next thing, which isn't... It's not Sin and Punishment. We're moving on to Mega Man.
Mega Man.
Which is another fighting robot.
The fighting robot?
Mega Man! Yeah.
Fighting robot?
So, let's start with, I guess, the cartoon, because it's the lower point
of
the series.
Well, are we going to go from... If we go from lowest to highest, we're going to start in 2000...
We're going to just keep going backwards.
I know. But ZX isn't terrible. GX is very fun to play.
Yeah, I mean, it's very X-like in appearance, you know, and how it's done.
And
so,
Zero,
I don't know.
And
should
Zero
we
is fun and very hard.
Oh, man. Let me think. What should we start off with?
Let's talk...
Let's start at the first Mega Man game.
Mega Man.
1985 or 87. It was somewhere around there. And this was... It was a simple story about a kid... Or, sorry, a robot that looked like a kid.
We actually debated if he was an actual human at some point.
Yeah, I said to Phil, I'm like, there was no way they took a kid and made him into a robot.
And that's what they did in Astro Boy, didn't
that's
they?
That's what they did in
that's what Astro they, Boy. Yeah, that's what that's who Astro Boy is. And it's a blatant ripoff of Astro Boy if you look at some of the earlier stuff.
Of course.
But
like the designs for the earlier stuff are very cartoony.
Oh, yeah. They're good, though. I like them.
Yeah.
Man, but some of those later designs, they got really bad. Like, what was in 3? You had Top Man?
Top Man.
Where his ability was, I'm going to spin! You better watch out!
Wasn't there also Top Man? There was a... No, I'm thinking of all of 2's villains.
There was a Dust Man.
Dust Man.
There was Wind Man. There was Tomahawk Man, the Native American robot.
Wasn't there,
There was a Night Man. There was, this is mostly 6
you
stuff.
Know,
I love 6 to death, but... who else was there? There was Plant Man, which is ridiculous because he's not a plant and he's not a man. It's like completely contradictory to what you're naming. What else? There was Yamato Man, which was just like, they might as well have named him Japanese Spear Robot Man. There was Skull Man. There was Pharaoh Man. They get bad, but going back to Gundams, bad can be good.
Bad can be good. It's the whole fun of Mega Man is just
making fun of how bad it is for the character
design.
It's
a fun game. They're fun games.
They're great. 1 is very difficult by today's standards, but I can still beat it. I've beaten it tons of times.
I beat it as a kid.
And then it's like, well, everybody liked 1. We'll make a sequel. And then it blew it out of the water. You get Mega Man 2.
2 is hard.
2 is not hard, dude.
2, I can't beat... What's the stage with all the lasers falling down?
All the lasers falling down? I don't remember that. I remember the only hard part I remember from Mega Man 2 is right before the final boss, there is a area where you have to fall down a shaft, and the entire way there's spikes on... Like, you fall down a hole, and on the left and right, all the walls are made out of spikes. And if you touch any of the spikes, you instantly die. And as you're falling, you have to hold left or right and change direction just to not hit the walls. And I've died on that many, many times. It's still hard for me now. But as long as you get Metal Man's ability, Metal Man destroys that game. The buzzsaw, it's just like... Because it goes in 8 directions.
Okay. Let's talk...
Oh, see, you haven't played enough of it. People who played Mega Man 2 know how broken Metal Man's ability is.
I've played Mega Man 2.
You can kill Bubble Man in 3 seconds with Metal Man's ability. 3 seconds. I've counted it. It's the most satisfying thing you can do in that game. It's like... Boom, 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 boom. It's just like, you win! You got Bubble Lead.
Oh, man.
good game. That's definitely the peak of the series.
2?
Yeah, 2. You can't beat 2.
What does Mega Man do that's so different? Why is he so mega?
I don't know. In Japan, he was Rock Man, and his sister was Roll. So he had Rock and Roll.
So you have Mega Roll and...
Mega Roll and Mega...
Mega...
Man.
Man.
I don't know. It's just Roll and Mega Man in this one.
So... Well, what's his ability? What I am?
Well, okay, he's a robot, and when he destroys another robot, he, like a robot master, that's what they call him, he gains their ability, like the amazing ability to shoot fire out of your arm, or ice, or any other element, or I don't know what Dust Man gave you. I couldn't imagine. Huh? Sweeping. Man, you know, he looked like a, he looked like an air duct. He looked like an air duct. That's what they made into a robot. There was also like Gemini Man. Gemini Man where he split into 2 parts.
Okay.
There were so many robot masks. I'm not going to get into them.
If you list them off, this is going to be a 2-hour podcast.
Man, I could just go on and on about how many robots there are. Even in X, for how many robots there are.
X is set 100 years in the future where, of course, it's apocalyptic-like future where...
In the year 20XX or 22XXX... You know, there lived a robot, a mega robot, and he blew stuff up and was the savior.
And then there was Zero, who kind of had a lightsaber, and we don't know if he had a ponytail or a cape.
Yeah, man, in the first game it was kind of hard to tell.
And then he died a lot. He died in every one.
He didn't die in every one. Did he die in the first one?
He died in one.
He died in 1, 3, 4 had an alternate branch, I think, where he died. And then they get
5.
You,
five he dies.
You know, the guy that made the series.
I know Mega Man Zero. Yes, I know.
He wanted to end it at 5, and then he was forced to make 6, and he closed off the story. He said, okay, 0 is going to be in a, like, hyperbolic time chamber, and he's going to appear in the future because he needs to cure himself of the Maverick virus. And then they completely ignore that and say, they flip-flopped. They were like, hey, they made a Mega Man X7, and they're like, what happened to, why is 0 in this? I thought he, like, put himself to sleep, you know, into the future. And it's like, oh, that was a what-if situation for that ending. And it's like, uh-huh.
Huh.
And then they made X8, and they stuck with that. And then they made 0. And then they're like, wait, but you just said this was an alternate thing. And it's like, well, that is an alternate thing to the regular story, but it branches off into this continuity.
Mega Man 0.
Mega Man 0.
It's a fun game.
I haven't played them. I really want to.
They're really hard, and they're really fun.
That's good, because I like hard video games. Mega Man, let me think. The original series, Mega Man and Base, all of X from 1 through 4... And the Zero series, I can recommend all of that. They're all difficult games.
Definitely.
And some of it's ridiculous. Have you ever beaten X4?
The
final form of Sigma is just freaking insane.
I had to get used to those scythe swings in the first part.
That's just his regular form.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it was tough.
I had to make sure I didn't get any hits on that.
Like, I remember in the first one, you could get the Hadouken from Street Fighter.
Yeah.
And it would just destroy anything one hit and... like, not to say that I haven't beaten the game without using it, but that just made things so much easier, and then you realize how much you relied on the Hadouken, the Shoryuken, you know, in those earlier titles to beat the final bosses. It was freaking tough. I haven't played Zero. How is it?
It's hard. It's more like Zero's area. Obviously, it's more like Zero's area.
It's more like X, yeah.
It's more because it's hard. You have a gunbuster, but most of it relies on the sword and the technique abilities.
Huh. So what, you just, like... So it's just Mega Man X with Zero as the main character. That's all it is, right?
But it's very hard. It's hard.
Well, like, you're not explaining it. It's just one-hit kills hard, or
no,
you take a lot of damage
it's
hard.
It's take a lot of damage.
Or they're fast. I mean, I haven't played it, but I played enough of X, I guess, to know what you're talking about. Let me think. What else do I want to talk about? Man... there have been too many damn spin-offs of this series.
Mega Man Legend?
Oh, Mega Man Legends is good. I love Legends. Legends 1 and 2 and The Adventures of Tron Bonne, I love those. And I wish they would make a sequel to that. But you know what they decided to make 10 sequels to? They make Battle Network.
Well, Battle Network got popular.
Yeah, they went the Pokemon route with that, didn't they?
Yeah.
I don't even know enough about it, but I know I don't like it without even playing it. I know that sounds really closed-minded.
It does.
But I don't know.
Thanks,
after
Wing Zero,
after playing the original Mega Mans and X and a little bit of Zero, I cannot go to another type of turn-based Mega Man game. It's just so ridiculously different that it doesn't even enter my mind that it could possibly be good. I don't know. Have you tried any of them?
What?
The Battle Network games.
Yeah, I own the first one.
And how is that?
It's a tactical game. It's like you've got a chess game. You've got Mega Man, and you've got your enemies. And you're given an ability, which most of the time is just your buster. But you've got these cards where it's like...
So it's a card game?
It's kind of like a card game. Like, you have a super booster card. And you click on it, and...
So it's strategy instead of, like, really quick reflexes and strategy.
Yeah, basically.
Eh, I don't know. I'm not into that. And then, they made Battle Network and then Star Force is the recent one.
I've never touched on Star Force.
I think Star Force is the continuation of the Battle Network style, isn't it?
Ah.
And what else did they do? So I haven't messed with those stupid series.
So let's go away from the games. Let's talk about the cartoons.
There's more than one?
There's not just the 1995 Ruby Spears cartoon. There was a 3-episode... OAV of a Japanese cartoon of Mega Man in the way before that.
Really?
Called, like, Mega Man Wish Upon a Star.
Huh, so it'd be like Hoshino something or other.
Something. It's released in the US.
What, did they dub it?
Yes.
Huh. How is it? I mean, it can't be that good if I've never heard of it. It's bad, right?
It's not. It's.
It's average?
It's average. It's not in any. It's kind of. It's just out there. It's not. How to say this?
It's by no means Sonic the Hedgehog the movie.
It's not terrible, but it's not great. It's just average.
It's not worth watching, though.
It's kiddie fair.
It's kiddie fair?
Like, I think the best part is that they kept very close to the original designs. That's probably the high point of it. But let's talk about what we were going to what we watched before this was...
We watched a bit of the animated series.
The American cartoon. where Mega Man's voiced by Goku.
What, the... Yeah, man, that was his first... that wasn't his first voice acting job, obviously, but it was one of his earlier works.
It was a very early introduction for us to Ocean Group, who do a lot of dubbing for Japanese cartoons.
Yeah, man. It's weird. Like, you'll start into the episode, and the intro looks 100% Japanese.
It looks very nice.
It looks extremely well animated.
Like, really, is this a Ruby Spears production? And just to elaborate, Ruby Spears were... They were show writers for Hanna-Barbera in the 60s, and in the 70s they did the Mr. T show.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Oh, wait, these are 80s shows.
Did they do the Chuck Norris show?
They may have.
Who did that?
I don't know. They did a Rubik's the Magic Cube.
Wait. Rubik's, like the puzzle cube?
Yeah.
They made a cartoon out of the puzzle cube?
Yes.
How do you make a cartoon out of a Rubik's cube?
They did. It was the 80s.
Okay.
And they did a...
I'll give it to you. It was the 80s. That's the all-encompassing answer.
And a lot of other terrible cartoons. But just, like, you would think from this intro, it's a very nice intro, that, like, it was something more than that. But no, it's just... It's got
It brings you down so bad when you watch the actual show, like... It's a... I don't know. Like, you see Roll, and Roll looks older. She doesn't look like a little six-year-old.
Her ability is that she can vacuum clean stuff.
Yeah, she has a vacuum cleaner. Like, if Mega Man had destroyed Kirby and gotten Kirby's power, that's her power.
But except all she's got is this really weak vacuum cleaner.
I'm gonna vacuum you!
Like a double-A vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
Like, and Rush? Rush is like Scooby-Doo in this series.
Yeah, he is. They gave him the Scooby-Doo voice. Because that's how all dogs sound, apparently.
It's also got the best lyrics for a TV show.
Mega Man is a fighting robot.
Mega Man. Fighting?
The fighting robot. And they just keep going over and over. That's the only lyrics in that opening.
Oh, the best part
of it. It's so good. I love that opening.
The best part about the cartoon is Cutman's got the...
Cutman has a voice like this.
I can't believe I can't remember the celebrity that's impersonating.
He's from the 1950s. I mean, what?
Well, he's like Rent. It's like the guy that was used doing Rent's voice.
Oh, I'm going to cut you.
It's the same guy that they were trying to imitate.
You idiot!
Yeah.
But even though Rent from Rent and Stimpy sounds different from the person that we're talking about.
But Cutman. Hilarious.
Yeah, I don't know. That's...
The episode we were watching,
though,
he and Gutsman were evading people's dreams, and their concept of invading people's dreams is like, give us your money! Go to the bank and give us some money!
Yeah, they, like, Dr. Wily, in his infinite, maniacal, evil genius wisdom, turned Gutsman and Cutsman, see, they rhyme, that's how you remember them.
Ah.
And they turned them into, like a...
Computer, they turned them into dream matter.
I don't know, it's so like...
Basically, they sent them into people's dreams to get people's money.
Yeah, they kind of brainwashed people by going into their dreams, like literally plopping into them.
It's
ridiculous.
It's stupid.
But anyways, very stupid.
The best part of the episode is Mega Man is fighting Electric Man and
Bomb Man. Or was he Blast Man?
Like,
or Explosion
and
Man? I don't know.
He shoots all around. He shoots them and misses. Like, oh, he missed. Like, no, he just sawed around them like in a cartoon.
Yeah, they fell through the street. He made a circle of shots to shoot around where they were standing, and they fell into the sewers.
And they ran away through the sewers.
Yeah, and Bomb Man's like, oh, well, my bombs are useless now.
And the computer shut down on us, but obviously Mega Man would absorb someone's powers, and they'd make some bad puns.
I remember that. It's like, they even made fun of themselves. It was one time, it's like, man, how does he keep getting our powers? How do we let him do that?
I don't know. Kind of a plot device.
Yeah, I know. Oh, man, what about Proto Man?
Hey, little dude! Hey, little brother!
Hey, guy, how's it going? He was the same... For those of you who have seen the terrible, terrible...
Street Fighter
animated cartoon. Yeah, he was the voice of Ken. Of Ken Masters. So, I don't know, he sounds really... I want to say gay. That's only...
He sounds pretty gay.
He sounds very gay. That's
like, not Rip Taylor gay, but pretty.
And Dr. Light, he sounds like Elmer Fudd, doesn't he?
No.
I'm Dr. White. I'm Dr. White, and I'm going to help you, Mega Man.
Paul.
Yeah.
Anyways.
It's bad. Don't watch it. Watch one episode, you can make fun of it.
Like, and then there's the Battle Network anime.
There is a Battle Network anime, isn't it?
But it's just dull and average, like.
I don't know, have you seen it subtitled, though? That might just be a,
Yes.
So it's not a case of somebody, like, chopping it up.
No. It's just average. It's just a kid's show.
Nothing wrong with that,
and same with that in the Star Force anime.
There's a Star Force anime, too?
Yes.
Why isn't there, like, a Mega Man X anime?
No.
Why wasn't there a Mega Man Zero anime or a ZX anime?
I don't know.
I don't know. It's like...
But let's end this, because we're going to just rant about Mega Man for a while, which we've already done.
I guess. You guys don't want to hear about us talking about Mega Man for the next hour.
So, in synopsis, Mega Man. What? Play Mega Man and play the first half of Mega Man X.
Why, you don't like Mega Man X?
Play the 1 through 4.
Oh, yeah. Mega Man 1 through 7, Mega Man and Bass are good. That's the original series.
Mega Man Zero, the Mega Man Zero series.
Zero, 1 through 4.
And ZX, I would recommend.
And ZX and ZX Advent. And also X 1 through 4.
As I just said.
Right. Just recapping it.
So, Mega Man.
Yeah, it's a pretty good game. It's not a good cartoon.
Terrible. Like, mostly average cartoons, but... Like, just, like, that one terrible American cartoon that sets itself into a whole lot. And not even close to the terribleness of Street Fighter, but still...
Oh, wait a minute. I just thought of something. Do you remember the dubbing in Mega Man 8 and Mega Man X4?
Oh, right.
Oh, God, that was bad. Ooh. If you've ever played Mega Man 8 for the PlayStation or Saturn...
X4.
Or Mega Man 8. X4, yeah. Mostly 8. But, man, they're so bad. It's like they gave... They tried to emulate, I guess, the Japanese high-pitched voice that they had for Mega Man, but it does not translate well when you suck at dubbing. It was just... It's just bad. It's awkward talking. I don't know how to explain it. Like, Mega Man X4, I was laughing. There's this point where someone dies in Mega Man X4, and Zero's like, "What am I fighting for?" And you can't take the scene seriously at all, and you just start cracking up.
So, Mega Man...
Mega Man.
Yeah.
Greatest Guns N' Roses and Star Wars ripoff of all time.
Wasn't there also Red Hot Chili Peppers?
No, I don't know. The creators of Mega Man are really big Guns N' Roses fans.
Okay.
If you go to Mega Man, it's in one of the Super Nintendo games.
You've told Mega Man 3. Actually.
Mega Man 3, there's a Guns N' Roses song for the background music.
Okay.
All right. Well,
so this has been Rocket Punch Episode 5.
Signing off. Until the next week.
See ya.
See you around.
Yeah. 光太陽を光